been quite a weird week. But in all the sanitizing chaos, it is our hope and prayer that you've been drawn closer to God like never before. Today, as you can see, marks the start of quite a few new things for us. It's our first ever online service, and we're also starting a brand new series today. And so if you are joining us from the comfort of your own home, or from your office space, or anywhere else in the world behind a screen, it is our prayer and our hope that you would feel right at home, and that you would participate in this service with us as if you were sitting right here. We've been praying and longing for this day for a very, very long time, where we connect to the Church of Christ beyond these walls. And I'm pretty sure that I speak for most of our executive. We are extremely excited to see what God does in and through this crisis. We know one thing, is He will definitely use this for His glory. For our online community, I would like to encourage you today to fully participate in the service. You are able to download study material right now. There's a link on our Facebook page and our website that will enable you to participate and read with us throughout the day, but also continue to grow closer to God throughout the week. For the rest of us here today, of course you can participate in the service, you already are. But we would encourage you to, after the service, download the study content from our website and with our online community, grow together. As mentioned earlier, today we're launching a new series called Red Letter, which will help us journey towards Easter as we unpack one of Jesus' statements while he was on the cross of Calvary every week. And so let's do that right now. If you mind turning with me in your Bibles or on the Bible app to Matthew 27, verse 37 to 47. Let's read it together. For those at home, please designate somebody to open up their Bibles or the Bible app, and let's all read it together. Verse 37. Above his head, they placed the written charge against him. This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Two rebels were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "You who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. Come down from the cross if you are the Son of God." In the same way, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders mocked him. "He saved others," they said, "but he can't save himself. He's the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross and we will believe in him." "He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now if he wants him, for he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" In the same way, the rebels who were crucified with him also heaped insults on him. From noon until 3 PM, darkness came all over all the land. About 3 PM, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani?" Which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing there heard this, they said, "He's calling Elijah." Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And we ask today that you would pull us into this story. Speak to us directly. And help us to leave here today hearing from you like never before. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So a little context behind this reading. Jesus Christ has just been nailed to the cross of Calvary after being sentenced to death. On his way to this very moment in history, Jesus was brutally beaten, mocked, and scorned. Furthermore, history tells us that Roman crucifixions were extremely brutal. They were slow and excruciating deaths because the Romans wanted to broadcast to everybody out there that this will be your fate if you're sentenced to death. They even placed a small sign above your head with the charge written against you so that all can see why you were nailed to that cross. And so on Jesus' sign, it read, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." It didn't state that he's a serial murderer, a rapist, or a thief. No, it stated he was King of the Jews. That was the charge against him. And we note from our reading today that people just hurled insults at him again and again. "You who are going to destroy the temple in 3 days, save yourself, come down from that cross if you're the Son of God." He saved others, but he can't save himself. He trusts in God. So let God rescue him now if he wants, for he said, "I am the Son of God." Just imagine what Jesus was thinking in that moment when he heard these insults. And remember that he wasn't convicted and sentenced to death for a real crime. He did nothing wrong. Remember the words of Pilate in Luke chapter 23, where Pilate called together the chief priests and the rulers and the people, and he said to them, "You brought this man to me as one who is inciting rebellion. I've examined him in your presence and found no basis for charges against him. Neither has Herod, for Herod sent him back to us. You can see he has done nothing to deserve death." Yet the teachers of the law and the crowd shouted, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" So Pilate surrendered Jesus to their will. And now Jesus finds himself on the cross of Calvary, and he is about to die a completely unjust death. But it seems like for his mockers, that's not enough. They want to humiliate him to the utter core. And that's why they're throwing all these claims back into his face. They even challenge his relationship with God with these gripping words. "He trusts in God, so let God save him now." In modern day language, he trusts in God. But where is your God now? Just look at you, Jesus. Where is God now? This was the first of many deep wounds, emotional wounds, that Jesus was going to endure that day. And as we study the Gospels, it is clear that Jesus does trust God. He trusted God in all of the miracles, in all of the provisions. He trusted God in every teaching, every conversation. He even said it himself, "I don't do anything or say anything on my own accord. But everything I do is the will of my Father. Everything I see him do, I do. Everything I hear him say, I say." God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are fully united. They trust each other completely. And this is very easy to see in the good times. When we read through the Gospels and we see the miracles and Jesus walking on water, there's a whole lot of trust happening there right in that moment. When he prays for the sick and they get up and they walk with their mats out of the room, there's massive trust in that moment. So it's easy to see trust in the light, in the good times. And I think for most of us today, we would agree fully that it's easy to trust someone or something if you can see what's going on. Just imagine walking into a room and your best friend or a family member that you trust fully says, "Okay, we're going to turn off the lights. I'm going to blindfold you. Let's walk through the room." Most of us, if it's a friend, a good friend that you can trust, that no pranks are going to come up, kind of go, "Okay, well, let's do this." Or a family member, "Let's do this. I trust you." How about somebody that you hardly know? A complete stranger you've just met. And they go, "Come on. Let's blindfold and we're going to walk through this room. Promise you there's an exit on the other side." Most of us would find that quite difficult. And so in this moment, The text says from 3 o'clock, the whole area became quite dark. I think in Jesus' heart, things became quite dark as well. For us, trusting God is easy in the light. But what happens when it's Friday afternoon? We see the news headlines or the social media post, COVID-19 outbreak. And slowly we notice our surroundings change as people rush to the shops to buy hand sanitizer, toilet paper, and whatever else they consider essential. Suddenly our lives change from joking around and going on a fishing trip with a bunch of friends or hiking up a mountain and just enjoying life and having some fun to absolute panic and uncertainty. Suddenly we find ourselves in a similar situation as Jesus and his disciples, where the world around us has turned dark. We're staring death in the face, and slowly the thoughts start creeping into our minds. Where is our God now? And while we're wrestling with this, we're questioning these things. Somebody else dares ask us the question. You trust God, right? Well, where is he now? Where is he in this COVID-19 crisis? Where is he in your mess? And just like Jesus experienced in that moment, at times like these that we're facing right now, our relationship with God and our trust in him will be put to the test fully. And just like Jesus, you might become so overwhelmed by what's going on that you feel completely forsaken. We can see from this modern video that what Jesus and his disciples experienced that day wasn't unique. What we're experiencing now with COVID-19 isn't unique either. Friends, the darkness will always test your trust and faith in God. It's been like that since the very beginning. Since the Garden of Eden, and it will be like that until the very last day. And if you're finding yourself today in a very dark place, or you know someone who is, we've got some really good news for you today. But before we get there, I want to remind you of something crucial about Jesus on the cross in that moment when he uttered these words, "Why have you forsaken me?" When Jesus felt forsaken by God, in his darkest moment, it wasn't merely a feeling. It was complete reality for him. And this is why. In that moment, Jesus was completely forsaken by God the Father. Because in that moment, all of the sin of the world, all of our shame, all of the filthy things that you and I have ever said and done, in that very moment, it was all placed on Jesus Christ. And because God the Father is holy, because he is without sin, he cannot be in relationship with anything or anyone that has been contaminated with sin in any form. And that's why in that very moment, God had to break his relationship with his Son so that whosoever believes in what Jesus was about to do will never have to experience the same forsakenness ever again. Because of what Jesus did in that moment for you and for me, even in our darkest moments, we can know this. God is with us. Because he turned his back on his Son that day, he will never do it to us. Jesus Christ was forsaken by God on our behalf, so that in all things, during any crisis, we will know that God will never leave us nor forsake us. Yes, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, because I have overcome the world. And so when COVID-19 or any other crisis you face leads you and even others to question your trust in the Lord and your relationship with him, may we remember the words and actions of Christ. When he was in his darkest moment, he didn't actually question God. He quoted scripture. When he said, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," he was quoting Psalm 22. "Oh Lord, why have you forsaken me?" He was quoting scripture to remind himself of the goodness and the greatness of God, even in his darkest moment. And that's the challenge for you and I, that just like Jesus, when we're walking through the valley of shadow of death, we would fear no evil. And we would quote those scriptures again and again and again. It's as if Jesus knew that one day you and I would require a completely impartial source to remind us about the goodness of God. And God's word will always be there, always, even in our greatest crisis. So when it seems as if God is miles away, when it feels like you've been completely forsaken right now, remember that God is good. We are fully aware of this when things are good, but we need to remember this when things aren't good at all. God is good. And yes, he is good all the time. 1 Chronicles 16 reads as follows, "Gives thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his love endures forever." Psalm 25, "Good and upright is the Lord." Mark 10, "No one is good except the Lord," except God alone. And so today, find rest for your weary souls in this crisis, knowing that God is good. But he isn't just good. He is for you. Paul declares this in Romans 8, verse 31. If God is for us, who can be against us? If God is for you, even in today's crisis, who can be against you? Jesus declares this in Matthew 6 as well, that the Lord cares for us more than the birds in the air and the lilies in the field. God is for you. Other scriptures that come to mind is Jeremiah 29, Psalm 139, Matthew 10, to mention but a few. But even when you're wrestling with the goodness of God and the fact that he is for you, Hebrews 13 declares this, Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. Jesus' words to his disciples and to us in Matthew 28 was, I'm with you always, to the very end of this age. So when you feel lonely, when you're struggling in your crisis, remember that God is good. Remember that He is for you, and remember that He is with you to the very end of this age. And nothing you can do or say will ever separate you from His love. So friends, I know that many of us are experiencing a dark moment right now. Many of us are wrestling with the crisis that we're all facing. Many of us feel forsaken. To the extent where we ask, where are you, God, in this pain? Why does it feel like you've forsaken me, just like you forsook Jesus on that day? What good could ever come from the suffering? If that's you today, may this video give you hope. You see, because of the cross, every single one of us that's felt pain, and every single one that's living with unanswered questions and even sleepless nights, we can unreservedly rejoice through it all. Because out of the worst imaginable act, the sinless Son of God on the cross of Calvary, God brought about the greatest good ever known. And know this today, that even in this crisis, God will work all things to the good for those who love Him. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we do cast our minds to Calvary. Especially in moments like this, where we feel forsaken, where it feels like the world around us has gone completely dark. Oh Lord, do good through it all. Just like you did on that day. glorify your name in and through this crisis. And allow us, strengthen us and equip us to broadcast this to the world, that the God that we serve brings goodness out of any crisis, any evil. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.